I'm Janelle, and you're listening to Mom's Secret Fort.
Hey out there. It's still week 4 of the new normal here in Berlin, Germany, and this is a bonus episode. Instead of telling a story, I'm going to give you a tour of my daughter's primary school. I got the idea after talking to so many parents whose kids are not yet back in school and who are concerned about when and how it can ever be done safely, but are also feeling doubt about whether their kids will ever have a normal school experience again. If you haven't already, I recommend that you listen to two other episodes first, Damp Cloth and Fourth Grade Flashback. They'll give you a little more context, especially if you're new to the podcast. Okay, on to the episode. My daughter's first day back to school was a few weeks ago. In the weeks before she started, I was very anxious about it and not entirely sure I wanted her to go. Not only because I didn't know how the school would do it, but because I knew they didn't know how they would do it, and were working on problems right to the last minute. But they did do it, and they are doing it, and as of next week, all grades in Germany will have started back. So, what are the requirements and restrictions here in Berlin, and how is my daughter's school dealing with it? I'll share what I know. First, I'd like to give a few caveats, though. I'm just a parent observing from the outside. I'm not an authority with all the information, so please don't take this as any version of a recommendation or even a full accounting. I'm not suggesting that what the school is doing is right or better than any other school or even possible for any other school. Also, everything I'm saying about what happens on campus is based on a little bit of observation from outside the gate, information provided by the school, conversations I've had with my daughter's teacher, and the very detailed reports I get from my daughter. Or, should I say, got from my daughter. Today, when I asked her what happened at school, unlike the play-by-play she gave me the first several times, she said, "I don't know, nothing much." I'll take this typical kid response as a very healthy sign. My apologies ahead if this gets a bit dry. I really want to focus on anticipating and addressing your questions and curiosities as much as I can, and hopefully give you a little sense of hope. Here we go. Here in Berlin, a maximum of 15 students can be in a classroom at a time. So because of that, my daughter's school split each class in half. Each half then comes to school twice a week for 5 hours each time. And on the other 3 days, they continue their schooling from home, which I'll explain more about later. I said half, but actually the class is split into three groups. The two groups that alternate coming to school, like I said, and then the one that doesn't come at all because of their own or their family's risk factor. The risk factor kids from the whole grade then have a separate teacher because the regular classroom teachers have a live class 4 days a week and still need to review work done from home. I don't intend to cover the secondary school, but I will just quickly mention that they alternate weeks instead of alternating days. What else? Everything is impacted by social distancing and hygiene requirements. Systems, staff, resources, curriculum, logistics, facilities, budgets, and 10 more categories I'm not even thinking of. Because of this, the school started one grade level at a time so that they had time to address and adjust the logistical nightmare of social distancing, as well as get each grade level teacher team and parent group up and running with the new approach. The first week, students came only once for about 4 hours to learn the ropes, which gave everyone time to adjust before starting the regular schedule. The school started this whole process with grade 5 and then added another grade each week. On campus, everyone is required to be 1.5 meters or approximately 5 feet apart at all times. So how does that work? Well, coming on campus, students throw a mask on and trickle in through assigned entrances. Any gate on the property is now an official entrance attended by staff. Also, the start times are staggered. Older kids are encouraged to ride their bike or walk if they can, and parents of younger kids are asked not to walk their child right to the gate. All of this is to avoid crowding. But the staff are right there, and they see the kids coming, and they make sure they get through the gate, they check them in, and they provide them with a mask if they don't have one. Everyone's allowed to wear whatever works for them, as long as it covers their mouth and their nose. And much to everyone's relief, they don't have to wear them all day. In fact, they only have to wear them for a few minutes, maybe up to 10 minutes at a time. I'll get to more of that later. Once they're through the gate, the kids wait in hula hoops or marked spots, and they visit with friends while they wait for their classmates. For me, social interaction is one of the most important reasons to get kids back to school as soon as possible, so I love hearing about every opportunity they have for this. If they're burning to talk about a secret or why their brother is so dumb, they can get right to it before school even starts. And then once everyone's there, they head in, wash their hands, and walk to class. Inside the building, the hallways are marked on the floor with tape to remind everyone of how much space to give each other. They wear their masks while moving about inside the building, but once they sit at their desk, they can take them off. They can also take them off during outdoor exercise. Inside the classroom, the windows are cracked open for fresh air and the desks are distanced. Probably the most significant change is that all desks face forward and the teacher stays at the front of the room the whole day, which is a real game changer. For those of us that grew up in the 80s or earlier, this doesn't seem that hard, but primary classrooms and teaching methods have changed a lot since then, so it's a big adjustment for everyone. Talking to my daughter's teacher, it's also the biggest heartbreaker. It's just not possible for her to stop by kids' desks to see what they're working on and give them encouragement or guidance as they go, or to check in with a kid discreetly if it seems like something's off. Today she did start having mini conferences with each kid at the front of the class just to have a check-in, and my daughter said it worked out just fine. By the way, as I'm talking, if you're picturing silence and austerity, go ahead and insert normal kid noises in here. They're laughing, they're talking, they're lively. It's not a scary vibe. Okay, so the kids don't share any supplies or equipment, though they do sit in the same desk and chair as the student in their class that comes on the opposite day. My daughter says the desks are sanitized while they're outside, and I assume this happens again after they leave. All other supplies, the kids take back and forth to school every day. Though it isn't necessary, it does make it easier that the kids each have an electronic device that's either theirs or on long-term loan from the school. They don't use them much, but it does allow them to more easily submit work to the teacher or conduct a little research without exchanging papers or books or moving around the classroom. That said, a lot of work simply isn't submitted anymore. The kids check their own work and handle questions and mistakes as a class. But what about grades? The school decided that the kids will get nothing lower than their previous report card. So there you have it. Of course, the kids need to move around, so they take lots of breaks to do that in their own space. My daughter says they use Go Noodle a lot. I have no idea what Go Noodle is, but she seems to like it. They also take breaks to listen to birds or music, or to socialize or have a snack or lunch at their desk. The kids have the option to bring their own food or eat the individually wrapped lunches delivered to the classroom. And yes, they wash or sanitize their hands before and after eating every time. Speaking of hand washing and the bathroom, I asked my daughter many questions about this. She said the procedure for hand washing is that the first kid turns on the water and then all the kids file through, and then the last kid turns off the water with a paper towel. Pretty genius, I think. The intention is to reduce contact, but I suspect it also gets them moving through quickly, though hand washing does take up a lot of time during the day. When it comes to using the stalls, kids are asked to leave the door open when they are done to reduce overall need to touch the door. Either way, they wash their hands after, and if they don't, they wash them about a million other times throughout the day. Hot tip, stick a little hand lotion in your kid's bag. Of course, the best way to get the wiggles out and burn off all that snacking and hand-washing tedium is to go outside. They do get about a half an hour. It's supervised, but also social. My daughter's school has very limited outdoor space, so they stagger the schedules. So, are they learning anything during this shortened day filled with hand-washing, breaks, eating, and socializing? Yes. Amazingly, yes. They are sticking with core subjects for now, but there is enough time for a few good lessons and individual work every day. My daughter has learned new math, conducted independent research, and is learning how to take notes. She even taught me the proper use of a semicolon the other day. Finally, homeschool. I know this is a hot mess of a topic, and many parents and teachers are very frustrated. Everyone's situation is so different, so I'll limit this part. They were using two platforms, but have consolidated to Google Classroom, which means much less confusion. There are optional assignments in non-course subjects for kids who need more, but they are truly optional for kids who are at their max. If kids have questions about core subjects and no parent to help, they can ask the next day at school. What is so key here is that the school has made it clear that they understand everyone's circumstances and resources are different. They are there to support the kids as best as possible, but they don't want the kids to be stressed out about missing assignments or grades. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop the tour right here. As I was talking this through, you undoubtedly had a lot of what about questions in your head. I didn't talk about the library or school buses or a million other details. I figure it's diminishing returns to keep going on because every city will be so different. You may have even scoffed at trying to imagine your school having the resources or wherewithal to apply these specific solutions. You might have thought it was all way too much or way too little. I know. All thoughts are legit. In our case, Germany was one of the first countries to come out of lockdown and go back to school. There was no model to follow, and the pressure was on and still is on. So our school took what felt like maximum precautions. And frankly, that's the only reason I felt comfortable sending my little guinea pig in on the first day. So far, it's been successful, and I feel much more relaxed. I'm hoping that by fall, the school will be too. But enough about what you and I think. Let's ask my daughter. Here's what she said. The first day felt weird because everything was different, but it was exciting, but nerve-wracking, but everything. It was exhausting. But after the third time, it felt normal. There's always something funny, like something going wrong in the class or misperceptions about what someone said. You pet the fog? No, I pet my dog. Sometimes something weird will happen, like when a new grade level comes in, things shift around. At school, I'm not thinking about coronavirus. I'm just excited to see my friends. Well, there you have it. I don't know if this helps you at all. What I really hope is that you scrap all the details, which are totally overwhelming, and walk away with the sense that it can be done, and when it's time, your kids will have a typical, fun, and happy childhood experience, even in these wildly unfamiliar circumstances. If you want to know more, feel free to email me at momsecretfort@gmail.com or drop a question on the Mom Secret Fort Facebook page. Take care, everyone.
Mom Secret Fort is produced by me, Janelle Schermerhorn. The music is Isolation by producer Loom Hill. The best ways to keep Mom Secret Fort going are to subscribe through your favorite podcast app, tell a friend, and like it on Facebook, where you can also access the show.